Radio Cabale, your anarchist radio.
Hey, and welcome to Radio Cabale.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, so I'm Santeria.
Achilles Punks.
And I'm JC.
Welcome, JC. Or should we say JC Denton as well?
No.
No, just JC.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, well, that's good, because you can't call me Santa either, so there we go.
There we go.
Cool. So we have like a wicked jam-packed show today, so we're going to start, as usual, with the news. And we're going to talk about loads of stuff, so sort of resistance to neoliberalism and austerity this month, and as well as... you know, what's going on in Palestine, Tottenham stuff as well. And we're going to have some interviews with Drowning Dog and Malatesta, who are fantastic anarchist hip-hop, and an interview with Piotr, who's in exile currently in Spain. So, yeah, should be good, eh?
Excellent.
Wicked. So now we're going to go to a song, unless there's anything else.
Yes, we'll go straight to a song. This is Akala, Knowledge is Power. I went to see Akala earlier this week. Excellent show. Definitely recommended. If he comes near to where you live, go and see him.
We claim we're loving this hip-hop, are we ready to understand it in this fullest cultural sense, beyond this useless branding, beyond the stories that keep feeding us the common myth. People started rapping in the 70s, what a bunch of shit. Done with the talk, loving New York for impact on my heart, but let's not pretend there was no foundation to this art, because KRS-One and BAM would be the first ones to say birth of hip-hop runs far deeper within our veins. Before Cool Herc came to New York pumping 100 watts, before the Watts prophets, last poets and Gil Scott, before there was jazz, before there was blues, before there was Cab Calloway, before the whips and ships and all the tragedy, before we're stripped of knowledge of a cultural anatomy. You could be a part for generations, just your family, before there were slaves. Fuck the bullshit about slave music, they must have had a cultural base to even produce it. The schools of Timbuktu, they already knew the cycles of the planet and the motions of the moon. 150 years before Galileo, check it, a medieval Benin's in the Guinness Book of records, and all of them cultures there that had a griot speaker, a storyteller, musician, poet and history keeper, who had to memorize a couple thousand oral epics. The tradition still exists today, but it could get neglected, and hip-hop needs to be understood in this fullest context, not a product of the hood, cause Miles Davis was rich and still played with the same feeling. It's that cultural memory. Go and ask Stevie Ella Fitz, Gerald Scatton's basically rapping. When you know we lost our languages, you know what has happened. So when you hear somebody rapping, the base of it is African. That ain't about excluding no one, it's just accurate.
Knowledge is power. Don't let them tell you about yourself, never, that's your wealth. Knowledge is power. If you don't feed your mind, how can it live in health? Knowledge is power. Don't let them tell you about yourself, never, that's your wealth. Knowledge is power.
Look around, hip-hop's become this global voice, but we must understand its roots so we can have a choice. How we should use it, what we should do with it, how to teach our students, cause Viacom is not our cultural institution, but it will use this culture for its prostitution and our destruction. Anything but a solution, but ghetto dilemmas as bad as it's ever been. People are dead, just ain't remembering roots of the rhythm and bass. Jambi's fingers as good as the past to assemble it, and it is writing. We think the pencil is, people are sacred. We think the temple is if I'm uncomfortable, you shouldn't mention it. I'm superior, so what your sentences? Don't disturb my privilege. Pensioners living off ignorance of all the members of every one of all the people we severed off. Never one of all the people we're never soft. Any gun or the better, we sell it off. Any sum of all the cheddar we level off. Culture with suicide is a necessity to get you to worship celebrity. Cause people with the strong sense of themselves could state that we'll never be.
Knowledge is power. Don't let them tell you about yourself, never, that's your wealth. Knowledge is power. If you don't feed your mind, how can it live in health? Knowledge is power. Don't let them tell you about yourself, never, that's your wealth. Knowledge is power.
When they say that knowledge ain't for you and your people, they're trying to keep you less than equal. Cause deep down in themselves, that's how they really see you less. Based on status or the places you was raised in, or the shape of your faces, degrees or bank statements. So we gotta reject whatever they said. They're never benevolent yet. Yep, you sit at a desk collecting a check. No need to ever respect. Mess, couple by death, triple by theft. Look at the West and the rest. Transfer knowledge, transferring power. Now tell me what is left. Bliss, no, ignorance ain't. It's just a sedative, numb in the pain. Only the clever shit could ever change. I would develop towards the aim. No, bro, push off the chain. Training the muscle is training the brain. It is the same pressure, push through the pain. Once you are strong, you were never the same. Man, you swagger, the way that you stand up, the way that you work with your words as a rapper. I seen a killer convert from a trapper to working with you, them and telling them man up. I am not telling you ever get bad up, but if we're to fight, then we must keep our jab up. Come on, my people, stand up.
Knowledge is power. Don't let them tell you about yourself. Never dash your wealth. Knowledge is power. If you don't feed your mind, how can it live in health? Knowledge is power. Don't let them tell you about yourself. Never dash your wealth. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Don't let them tell you about yourself. Never dash your wealth. Knowledge is power. If you don't feed your mind, how can it live in health? Knowledge is power. Don't let them tell you about yourself, never dash your wealth. Knowledge is power.
I think we should give it a try, see what it sounds like, and then...
Okay, cool.
Are you looking at me like...
Okay, you know what, I'm going to start first then.
Okay.
Okay, and welcome to the very serious Radio Cavelli News. So we have, there's a dawn blockade at Hinckley C, dawn blockade at Hinckley Point nuclear power station. And this was posted on Bristol Indie Media by Southwest Against Nuclear. So at 6 a.m. on Friday, November 23rd, 10 protesters blockaded access to EDF's nuclear sites at Hinckley Point, preventing the morning shift from starting work. Four people in armlocks formed a barrier across the main access road at Wickmore Drove in a bid to prevent a further ground clearance work at the planned Hinckley C site and to protest EDF's plan to extend the life of the aging reactor at Hinckley B station. So there was that. You can check out more about that one on Bristol Indie Media.
Cool. In Cardiff this week, on Tuesday, a number of squatters has occupied the Butte Dock Hotel, which is owned by Keelert, the largest estate agent in Cardiff. They said, "Our choice to squat the Butte Dock Hotel, which interconnects with the largest estate agent in Cardiff, Keelert, was no coincidence. It was carefully chosen. After receiving advice regarding the unique nature of the legal situation, we carefully schemed a plan. This involved confronting Keelert with news of our occupation on the morning of Tuesday, the 20th of November, with delegates from our welcoming committee. To give context to who we are dealing with, the executive director of Keelert, Pete Vidler, is a director in 12 different letting and investment companies, including Cardiff Bay Investments Limited, Cardiff Property Lettings Limited, and Luxury Lets Limited. In 2004, he was successfully prosecuted for trying to bully an employee into having an abortion, financially considering her pregnancy as a worst nightmare. She suffered verbal abuse and was repeatedly blamed for computer problems, causing her to contemplate ending it all, while Mr. Vidler attempted to justify his actions publicly."
God, shocking.
This sounds like a terrible people. Well done, Cardiff, for squatting that hotel, actually. Keep it up.
Okay, next up on the news is a call-out from the National Health Service workers who are asking people to join the protest this Saturday on the 1st of December, which will be assembling at 11 o'clock at College Green. Obviously the NHS that we all know and love is under threat. One of the biggest challenges is the pressure to cut costs and make savings. This has resulted in 20 NHS trusts across the South West, including University Hospitals Bristol Trust and North Bristol Trust, paying £200,000 of taxpayers' money to form the South West Pay Terms and Conditions Consortium, which are proposing radical changes to pay and conditions and the creation of a regional pay system. Obviously, a lot of people are very upset about this, not just the anti-cuts group, but the workers themselves. This is obviously a massive attempt by the government to radically change how the NHS works. Personally, I think it's going to have a really bad effect on things. And they've obviously decided to use the Southwest as a model for future implementations across the UK.
So, the United Nations has voted today in favour of tacitly recognising Palestinian statehood by giving Palestine non-member observer status, as non-member observer state status, I should say. The Palestinian bid to draw has drawn wide support from the European countries, including France and Spain, despite threats from the United States and Israel to punish the Palestinian government by withholding funds. Britain said Wednesday it would abstain from the vote, barring certain assurances, including a vow by Palestinians not to extend international criminal court jurisdiction over the occupied territories. Israel has previously threatened to topple Palestinian leadership over the statehood bid, but on Thursday, so that's something that's happened, and it's quite, although this is clearly an anarchist radio show, I think any little bit that helps the Palestinian people is good. We'll see how that goes.
Interesting to point out that Mark Regev has also said that this will damage peace talks, which is quite a surprising comment to make, seeming as, wasn't it just last week, they attacked the Gaza Strip and killed quite a few people?
Quite a few, yeah. And it's always very
over 160 people getting killed, sure that's helping his peace talks more than ever, yeah.
Well, there's an election, in Israel, so...
Yeah.
Cynical, but seems to be true.
Oh, sorry, that would be me next. So there's been a call for solidarity in actions on Tuesday, November the 27th.
So that's past.
Which, has already happened. In inspiring resistance this past week, the... I definitely can't say that. Can you give me a hand there?
Inisto Toten. And grassroots Wetsuwetsen. Those are the kind of... they're indigenous native names that I think you only know how to say if you're from that group or from that area, so yeah. We apologise for pronouncing them wrong, but we think the story is quite important.
Yeah, definitely going to read through the news more next time I try and present it. They've yet again evicted pipelines from their territories. On November the 20th, Wet'suwet'en Hereditary Chief Tochesti intercepted and issued an eagle feather to surveyors from the Can Am Diomatics company, who are working for Apache's proposed natural gas Pacific Trails pipeline. In Wet'suwet'en law, an eagle feather is used as a first and only notice of trespass. The surveyors were ordered to leave the territory, and the road leading into the territory has been closed to all industry activities until further notice. The materials that were left behind by the work crew are being held until Apache and PTP agree to open up appropriate lines of communication with the Unistuessen and the grassroots Wet'suwet'en, according to the free, prior and informed consent protocol and laws of their unceded territories. The Unistuessen are against all pipelines slated to cross through their territories, which include Enbridge Northern Gateway, Kinder Morgan's Northern Proposal, Pembina and Spectra. The Unistuessen are now calling for solidarity and support actions to reaffirm their position and to amplify the message to industry and government that no proposed pipelines will proceed in their territories. There is a call for immediate actions on Tuesday, November 27th, which unfortunately has passed. Hopefully maybe next radio show we'll hear about some of them, to ensure that corporations, investors and governments get a clear message that they have no right or jurisdiction to approve development on native lands.
And I think this speaks to really what goes on native lands across the world. Since colonization, really, like the resource extraction at the costs of people's lives and the environment has gone on sort of unheeded, and like we see this with tar sands in Canada, and also with the pipeline that they're now proposing that's been resisted to be built from the tar sands in Canada down to the United States and things. So the major issues as well for Indigenous people who have our solidarity.
Yeah, I've heard that there's also been actions of resistance to pipelines all across North America lately as well. I don't know if you heard about the Texas resistance?
Oh,
I think.
Okay.
Coming from the other direction, there's been another pipeline which people have been blockading, which people have been... Yeah, so it's, yeah... definitely a North American wide thing.
Yeah.
Don't mess with Texas.
Indeed. So now to some insurrectional news.
Insurrectional news, okay, my favourite. Anyway, yeah, I was going to say, who's the source of this communique from?
325.
325. Okay, this is a communique written by 325, rather short this time, which is easy for me to read now. So, yes, I'll start the communique from 325 now. November 22nd, 2012, Comrade Billy has been released from prison after serving a jail term for burning an ATM bank in solidarity with Luciano Totorgo in Chile. We welcome Billy back on the streets with our raised fists and a salute to continue the fight. Billy has been in prison for little over a year. His comrade Eaton, who's also a member of the long-lived Luciano
Tortuga.
Tortuga cell, FIA, FRI, is still detained inside the prison. Long live anarchy, death to the state and to the corporations.
Next one. This is, how do you say? This one is an inspiring story. On the 24th of November, over 5,000 anti-fascists participated in the annual Silvio Mayer demo in Berlin under the slogan "To remember is to fight." Every year, anti-fascists commemorate the death of the Berlin squatter Silvio Mayer, who was stabbed to death on the 21st of November 1992 by Nazis at the Samariterstrasse tube station after confronting them about racist symbols on their jackets. The demo was on the 20th anniversary of his death. So, while obviously him dying is not inspiring, but the fact that so many people turn out, people are still fighting and still remembering what's gone on and why it's so important to fight against fascism is good.
Pro-Israel legal lobbyists succeeded in stopping a boycott and boycott, divestment and sanctions arguments on Viola being put to Hackney Council recently. Do you feel like you deserve a say on where your council tax is spent? Well, not in Hackney you don't. Hackney resident Caroline Day was prevented from speaking to Hackney Council about French service company and Israeli apartheid profiteers Viola. She was unaware she was being gagged till she turned up at the town hall this Wednesday. The decision to silence her having apparently been taken in secret by councillors. Caroline has been scheduled to speak about how the company during a procurement process in which Viola was tendering for council contracts. The company has been the subject of several boycott, divestments and sanctions campaigns that have seen it looking over for multi-million pound public sector contracts for waste disposal because of its involvement in the Jerusalem light rail project, which is linking Israeli settlements in the West Bank and carving up Palestinian territory.
So I'm just going to go back to where we're going to talk about what we're going to cover. Oh, do you want to read that?
I'll read that and then we can have to...
Okay, great.
Sorry. Okay, and now for some news on the recent fracking situation. British resistance to fracking is cranking up again. Community groups across the country are organising for a day of action on Saturday the 1st of December to make it clear that they do not want to be fracked. Well, who the hell wants to be fracked at the end of the day? Sounds pretty nasty to me. Mm-hmm. Rumours are of action spanning from fire eaters to naked flash mobs. Alternatively, there's always a yearly climate march in London on the same day, which will have the fracking theme. The day has been titled the Big Rig Revolt, and at present, the default option for those wanting to fit in with the crowd seems to want to build a mock drilling rig and place it somewhere thoughtful, controversial or confrontational, depending on your preference. More inventive ideas will doubtless emerge nearer to the time. Speaking of which, we have people next door right now who are organising themselves for a big frack demonstration in Bath. Perhaps we should go over there and have a little quick chat with them.
Yes,
we?
Let's go over.
Are
you okay?
Yeah, I'm all good.
Do you want to? You need to take.
Oh,
it
oh yeah,
so
I should. So
practicing.
I get practice. Yeah. Okay.
It's not that complicated.
Is it directional at all?
I'm not sure.
Because like I'm going to be louder than everyone else because it's pointing right at me.
Oh. We actually decided to bring the dictaphone next door.
Are you coming in here?
Great, so
we're here at Radio Cavalli. We're in the art room at Cavalli with some folks. We're getting ready for this day of action tomorrow. So this is one of the wonders of Cavalli. There's always people around doing really cool stuff, really amazing and inspiring folks around. So hey guys.
Hi there.
Would you guys like to introduce yourselves just quickly for us?
Yeah, I'm Trevor from Rising Tide.
I'm Emma from Rising Tide also.
Wicked. So what's going on?
So tomorrow is a National Day of Action to highlight the use of extreme energy in this country, and in particular the fact that fracking and coal bed methane, which are two technologies for extracting gas out of the ground, are sort of being pushed in this country but haven't really got off the ground yet, and we're doing all we can to stop it.
Yeah, because there are, as far as I'm aware, there's currently, I think it's, what is it, two sites that are doing fracking in the UK with a proposition for many more to come. And it's sort of seen, I heard earlier today actually on the BBC World Service, they're talking with one of the heads of Shell, because they're thinking that natural gas may be one of the new energy revolutions now that we're sort of hitting, we've hit peak oil, haven't we?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely trying to fill in the gap in terms of fossil fuel reserves by going for these very much scraping the barrel technologies for trying to get the last bit of fossil fuel out the ground.
And companies like Shell are trying to push fracking as a low carbon clean energy, basically, because it's not coal, and that's about all that can be said for it, and arguing that it can take the place of renewables, which obviously could be pretty disastrous.
Yeah. And there are quite a few risks associated with fracking, because I think quite a few people have seen the movie about fracking, which whose name's escaping me.
Gasland,
yes. Yeah. But there's also, given the smaller landmass that exists over here and the problems, if there are problems, which quite often there are with groundwater contamination,
yeah,
air pollution as related to fracking and things like that.
Yeah.
It's there isn't the space in the UK almost for people to, for this not to hit major urban centres and things as well. And as we saw, there was the earthquake by one of the frack sites and things, so it's dangerous stuff.
It is definitely dangerous. And the other technology, in fact there is a proposal in at the moment from a company called UK Methane to do coal bed methane, which is where you extract gas out of coal seams. There's a proposal for doing that at Keynsham, and there's planning application going in just literally at this moment for that. And so we're also trying to highlight that. But all of these technologies might use big quantities of water, and they have a big problem of disposing of contaminated water once they've actually used the water. So that's a real concern.
Definitely. And what kind of creative stuff are you guys doing today?
Yeah, it looks like fun.
So we're just getting ready to take our fracking rig out and frack the centre of Bath tomorrow.
Yeah, people aren't too aware, Cadeli has what we call a massive assembly line for surface things like this.
It's true. Is there much resistance happening then in the UK to this, or do people not really know about it yet?
Where there are actually proposals, there is good, strong local community campaigns against it. I think what people don't realise is how wide the idea is being proposed. You know, it's good chunk of the UK is basically earmarked for this technology, and so, you know, it should be a concern to everyone, because it could literally be happening down the road from you shortly if you don't do something about it. It is actually, tomorrow is actually the anniversary of, we went up to Lancashire and did rig occupation a year ago at one of the sites there where they were test drilling. And
so how can people get involved? How do people find out about this?
Well, there's a coalition of groups called Frack Free Somerset, and you can look them up on the web, and they've got a good website giving lots of information about what's going on and what the next actions to be involved in. And they're having fairly regular meetings, and Rising Tide is one of the groups supporting and actively involved in Frack Free Somerset.
So people can come down to a Rising Tide meetings at Cabele as well, which are generally on Thursday evenings every few weeks.
And how can they find out about the meetings? Are they on the Cabele website or on Rising Tide's website, or both maybe?
Both, yeah, and on India Media.
Oh wow, so all over.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it, folks. Check out Bristol Rising Tide and the Bristol Cabele website to find out how to get involved in this really important campaign.
And if you're interested, we also, Radio Cabele did an interview a year ago, I think, with some of the people who were at the blockades. So if you're interested in hearing about older resistance that happened not that long ago, you can check that show out as well.
Well, good luck tomorrow. Good luck tomorrow, anyway.
Cheers.
Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. So,
yeah,
okay.
Forward to it.
Yeah, nice one.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Thanks, guys.
I can like link to it a little bit.
Okay, cool. Cool.
After a quick exit from the studio, we're back now, and
yep, it seems like resistance has really been kicking off this month with actions against austerity happening all around Europe, and in fact worldwide resistance to neoliberalism, which I think is related, has really been happening. I think there's been a general strike this month, hasn't there?
Yes, in about four countries at least. I know that Greece and Spain were definitely going to be involved in that one. Also Portugal and Italy as well, which has been great to hear as well. So four countries, one general strike.
Which has the unfortunate acronym of PIGS.
Oh yeah, so it does. Interesting.
Yeah, I was quite confused by this because on the October the 20th anti-cuts protest in London, there was a blog that there was a block of people doing a PIGS solidarity feeder march, which I thought was unfortunate that they had a police, and then realised that it didn't mean police. They actually meant the Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain.
Ah.
But yeah, so if you saw the pig speeder march, don't worry, it wasn't pro cop, it was solidarity with Greece.
or necessarily, pro pork or anything like that.
Yeah, it's not in any way speciesist.
Yeah, there was also a solidarity demonstration in Bristol as well by the Fountains. A few people turned up, it was, you know, biggest demonstration I've seen in Bristol for a while, at least anyway. So it was good to see people down there sharing their support and solidarity towards the various groups, and obviously trying to sell the socialist worker at the same time, because that's essential.
Yeah. Oh dear. Let's not get into that. however, yeah, it seems like yeah, despite this, there's been so much happening this month that it'd been possible to record it all, but something I thought was quite significant because it happened just this week on Wednesday, there's been a 48-hour strike in Madrid of healthcare workers, with about 80% of people taking part, which is a huge and really good number, with some of them actually going beyond striking and actually occupying their hospitals in protest against privatisation.
Nice.
Also, in terms of like really big stuff this month, there was a large number of people taking part in the international student movement organised global education strike. Only a few countries actually had a strike, such as Quebec, where 60,000 students walked out of their colleges in protest for free education and against commercialisation. But there were countries participating from as far away as Indonesia, where there were like protests in 17 cities against seeing people as consumers rather than students. There's been protests in Thailand, in the UK, which I think we'll hear about more about in a second. In Chile, in California, Germany, the Czech Republic, and Italy as well, really everywhere, which is really exciting, and organised by this group that's the International Student Movement, which I think
would be the ISM.
Interesting to anarchists because it works on a network structure where people don't have any, they have no decision-making structure. Rather, they're just a network of groups and an email list who can who meet online and coordinate between themselves, making decisions as groups, and then joining in if they want to and not if they disagree, which seems to have been really effective. Sorry, I'm talking a lot about this.
That's okay.
There was one thing that was really cool, which I wanted to mention before I hand over to Achilles Punks, which was the tactic used, pioneered by Italian students, called the book block, where they all take massive, giant books on their protests, which are attached to their arms, which conveniently double up as shields and have been used to break through lines of like books like The Coming Insurrection, like
The Revolution of Everyday Life.
Yeah, have been used to break through police lines in Italy and in the past in the UK as well, and held up to police batons. So yeah, knowledge really is power, folks.
Any 50 Shades of Grey or something like that.
Oh.
You've got to see someone out there with a tasteless book, you know, like a Dan Brown novel or like Stephen King perhaps, you know, trying to break through them.
How would you cast Fifty Shades of Grey versus some of like the, I don't know,
the other
classic works of feminism? Oh, there might be a battle between the arms.
Fifty Shades of Blood on this book right now?
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe it was on the other side. Or
Yeah,
there was an NUS demo organised in London this week around the same time, wasn't there?
Oh yeah, there was. That was fun. You know, we had wonderful English weather to accompany that as well at the same time, you know. Rain everywhere, windy as well, you know. So yeah, how was it organised? Organised by obviously the NUS bureaucracy, as it were, you know, top level people, not so much the rank and file as always. So how did the march start? Obviously you're on the by the River Thames, not too far from Parliament. Kind of the same starting point where the TEC march took earlier that year, month as well. So, but yeah, how did it end?
How did it end?
That's how it began. Basically, marched away from the city centre. So, like, we marched a bit past Parliament. People tried to, obviously, try and break out. They wanted, you know, there was an attempt at a book block there itself, which was not so great. The books were kind of actually book size.
Made of very flimsy cardboard and not, I saw from the picture.
Yeah, they weren't even books, I don't think.
You want to know how to make a book block? The Italian students actually made a YouTube video based on Art Attack showing you how to make these, so Google that.
Yeah, please do. I'm not worried about the book blocking. There were attempts by the more rank and file members of the student movement to make the march go to Parliament Square because, you know, it was more symbolic for them, I guess, to have it there. But no, the police and the NUS obviously colluded with each other enough to make sure that none of that was going to happen. There was a Section 12 in place, so anyone who tried to do alternative marches were going to be crushed, basically. They were going to be told, you're not going to march here. Basically, you have to march on the designated route made by the NUS and by the Metropolitan Police. So yeah, rather wonderful day that was indeed.
So in the rain, being told where to go by the police?
Oh yeah. On top of that, there were probably a few hungry power stewards as well who were trying to stop people from, who were like, you know, trying to get more shelter from the rain and stuff, going, oh, get back on the road and stuff like that. And it's like, well, the weather's really miserable. I don't think people are going to be too happy about that. I don't think so.
The people weren't even trying to break away. They were just trying to find a bit of shelter, and they got told off.
Yeah, but it wasn't all the stewards. I mean, that would be harsh to say, but there were like one or two stewards shouting, and people saying, "Get back onto the road, you know, not on the, don't go to the side, you know." It's like, well, it's horrible weather. What the hell do you expect? Anyway, so it ends up in Kennington Park. Now, the interesting thing about the march route itself is that it was it was chronicling reenacting what was called the Great Chartist March from Kennington Park. There was one problem though. It was a march in the opposite direction, you can see how well that went. So, you were there yourself, weren't you, JC?
At the rally in the park? No, I decided to go to the pub.
I did hear some stuff happen though before you went, maybe while you were in the pub, I'm not quite sure. They didn't involve you being in the pub, but it involved the stage, I believe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, which I'm very sorry that I missed.
Yeah, so here you have lots of people speaking on the stage as you always get at a rally. NUS President Liam Burns was amongst them, and a member of Unison as well. Obviously, you had quite a few die-hard NUS supporters going there who were obviously very happy about the march and how it went despite the bad weather and the low turnout at the rally point. And then you had half a bunch of other people there who obviously didn't share the same opinion and decided that they were going to tell Liam what they really thought. And a lot of chants and were being aimed at Liam. I heard, obviously, chants of general strike and NUS, shame on you, where the fuck have you taken us to? And stuff like that. So it was very much like very disappointed at the NUS leadership for their poor handling of the demonstration. There was in fact a banner being held up saying smash the NUS basically. It's got to that stage now where the NUS leadership is in obviously quite serious crisis, and they obviously didn't solve it by getting rid of Aaron Porter. They now have got another lackey, you know.
Also a member of the Labour Party, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, is he really? That doesn't surprise me at all.
I
mean, pretty much that is the NUS leadership. It's basically careerists looking to get a position in the Labour Party. I mean, who's going to argue against that? I mean,
yeah. So they're not really so looking out for themselves, maybe one could say, more than
I would say that. I think I mean, this is my own personal opinion, but I would think that their attempt was to kind of, you know, make it so that the student movement itself would no longer be radical. It would no longer try and, you know, it would stay in line, basically. Mm-hmm. That's what it wanted them to do. Like, mm-hmm. we don't want to see any more of these kind of mass occupations or attacks on, you know, conservative infrastructures, as it were. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, they, I think they want to kind of calm the movement down, so it's just more of this kind of very small, ineffectual movement, as it were.
Something you could put on your CV, perhaps?
Yes.
Especially because, yeah, one thing I've heard about recently is that if you look at what the Labour Party's proposing, they're actually not against cuts.
No.
They're just saying less cuts. And they actually, the cuts at the moment wouldn't have been able to happen without foundations that the Labour Party laid. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're quite afraid that the anti-cuts movement is going to spill over into being against all cuts, which would undermine their power, because which they've only built up because they've had support from big businesses by this kind of new Labour idea that we can make the rich richer and the poor a little bit richer as well. And so, like, kind of Tories but not quite.
Yeah.
Well, essentially, I guess, like, personally, one could argue that, you know, neoliberalism's at the helm of this stuff, and it's just different, different McDonald's burgers, but you're still going to get a pretty shit burger.
Yeah, I would say that. Like the green meals or something like that, they call it.
Yeah. Did you hear that McDonald's started doing salads?
Yeah.
Actually seem to have like more fat in them than any of the meat.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Anyway, if we go back to back to the conversation at hand anyway. yeah, so eventually, obviously the rain's continuing to pelt down on people's faces so much. Liam goes back onto the stage after being booed off the first time, and at this point everyone's thinking, well, I just had enough, and just decided to throw their lunch at him. lots of weird things, like apparently broccoli was thrown at him.
Wait, broccoli?
Broccoli, eggs, yeah, apparently. This is what I've been told, anyway. I was there, I could see lots of things being thrown at him, but it was flying quite fast. And there was also a satsuma thrown at him, although there has been some debate as to whether or not it might have been a tangerine on that issue.
All right, well,
that's unclear.
We're unclear on that one.
I guess things are happening fast, you can't really tell.
I think what he said, like, I think Liam Burns like later tweeted about how he dodged the wall and said he was like Neo in the process.
Oh, dear.
Goes, yes, I'm like Neo, you know, dodging all this stuff, you know. And referring to the people throwing such items as extremists as well.
Oh.
Just to further make himself sound more popular. He also foolishly goaded the people who were heckling him and throwing stuff at him to come closer, because, you know, he says, oh yeah, come closer. Oh, you're almost there. So they basically...
Is that your posh voice?
My attempt at a posh voice, maybe, I don't know, but yeah, they obviously, at that point, they decided, right, let's take down the barrier, let's get past the stewards and storm the stage, at which point I lost sight of Liam. I don't know where he went. I think he went round the back pretty quickly, so he pretty much zoomed off as soon as people started, like, going through the barriers and fighting with the security there, and then people stormed the stage and were shouting, shame on you, you know. This is obviously a shambles. We should, like, you know, that, you know, and people like trying to call people to go back to Parliament, which at that point probably wouldn't have made much of a difference now because there wasn't many people there. But it was just a fact that it was just, you know, it was obviously showing the fact that students have now had enough of Liam Burns. Most of them at that point had decided to go to the pub and have a drink, which would have been the wise thing to do.
Sorry.
No, I think that was probably the wisest thing to choose. You wouldn't have got yourself a cold afterwards, to be fair. But, you know, the ones that did decide to stay, half of them decided, we've had enough of this guy, we need to get rid of him. And we've had enough of the NUS leadership in general. I think this is a sure sign of saying that this is, you know, I think it's... hopefully the end of the NUS getting involved in activist politics within the university now, because I think they're just a joke when it comes to handling activism. That's my personal opinion, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, it does seem they're losing legitimacy from the outside, you know, and really, like, you know, the... Yeah.
And shameless plug, if you want to hear about an alternative way of organising, one of our past Radio Cabellial episodes has an interview from an activist in Quebec mm-hmm. who'd been experimenting using a syndicalist mode of student organisation through their student association called ASSE.
Nice one. Cool. And so we're going to chat about a couple more things before we go on with the show. And one of them, I think we've talked a bit about Palestine already and sort of what's going on there. Unless we have anything to add?
Not really, I don't think as such. I mean, obviously, I've been reading some of the comments on mm-hmm. BBC, believe it or not, which is surprisingly always quite pro-Israeli. And all the comments the highest rated comments are like from people saying basically, good on Palestine for becoming and pointing out the hypocrisy of Mark Regev's comments about damaging the peace talks, you know. Mm-hmm. It's been quite interesting. So, yeah, I think it's, just to alliterate what you said earlier on, I think the UK did abstain on that, and so did Germany. Canada was also one of the countries that opposed the vote as well. They voted no as well. Yeah. So
it was not unsurprisingly.
Yeah. So it's like I said, it's an interesting development anyway. Mm-hmm. But we'll see what happens in the future. Whether this makes any real change for Palestine, I really doubt it, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. But I think at the same time, it is kind of letting Israel realise that it's not, you know, their attitude towards Palestine is not as popular as they may think, you mm-hmm. know. So.
Yes, one can only hope that it leads for actual positive change in Palestine, although whether being granted this or not does that, we'll see. But, one can hope.
It is a really complicated issue, because obviously Mahmoud Abbas, obviously himself, he argues for what he calls the two-state solution. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's different arguments about the one-state solution, the two-state solution. Mm-hmm. I mean, being an anarchist, I'm for the no-state solution, but... Mm-hmm. But yeah, he says that this was the only way he could get the two-state solution mm-hmm. Put forward, as it were. Yeah. He said it was the only way it could be done, basically.
Yeah, I think as an anarchist, I don't like the idea of states. I think it sucks. However, I think I put this question out there to Radio Cabellial listeners as well. How do we deal with this as anarchists? But also personally, on a very just personal level. You know, as an individual, like how I see what's going on in Palestine is obviously horrific, and I want Palestinians to have the right to choose for themselves what they want to have happen, and so, and also to just stop the suffering that's going on.
Israelis feel the same way too. I mean, there are many Israelis themselves who are obviously for Palestinian human rights. They're anarchists against the wall as well. Mm-hmm. Just not to forget that. What's an interesting argument is that some people are saying obviously we shouldn't get that anarchists should not get involved in these kind of politics mm-hmm. at all. But one anarchist said on LibCon, which was rather interesting, said so obviously I'm an anarchist, I'm against the state, mm-hmm. but I'm also supporting the idea. I support the idea of this, you know, Palestinians becoming recognised as a state. And he said the reason for this is because, yes, while obviously I'm against the state, it's no point talking to Palestinians about anarchism if all Palestinians are dead.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people, you know, I think that's a fair argument to make. If mm-hmm. you know, how can you talk to a country about being free from being a country if it is not even a country to begin with?
Yeah, so it's, exactly.
It's an interesting argument to make, I think. So
it is. And if anybody has a miracle anarchist solution to this, I'm well up for hearing it. But in the meantime, you know, more power to them.
Yeah.
And so, and the last thing we're going to chat about quickly before we go on to some music was the Tottenham incident in Italy.
Recently, I mean, a lot of people in the mainstream news would hear this by now, but obviously Tottenham fans were attacked in Rome by they're called Lazio FC supporters. Obviously, you know, most of the time, there's always a bit of football hooliganism going on at matches and stuff. There's always going to be a fight, but this is different. This is obviously a more politicised attempt at attack. Obviously, the far right in Italy has, in time, in recent events, gone up a little bit. They've become a little bit more popular in recent times, and this is a good example of that. Spurs, who have had a bit of a, you know, they call themselves the Yid Army, and that's because of, you know, their Jewish background, and many of their fans themselves are Jewish. So the Lazio fans obviously attacked them. A few of the members got stabbed as well by the Lazio support as well. So it's a really vicious attack. And it wasn't just, you know, they were shouting stuff like Juden Tottenham, calling them Jews, being really quite making anti-Semitic chants towards the Tottenham fans while attacking them as well. And to prove that this was not just a football thing, this was obviously quite a, you know, a fascist statement, was that you had supporters from other Italian teams who were also also fascists joining in on the on this attack as well, including AS Roma, which would have been considered rivals to Lazio, but they got together and said, "Yeah, let's drive the Jews out," as it were. That was their attitude, really. What's interesting is that. Ruined that.
No, I think we can edit that. That's fine.
Yeah. Obviously, it's quite surprising about the rather relaxed view of the mayor of the city as well, because he himself is used to be a member of a fascist social movement, basically. And at the same time, when he was voted mayor, there was reports of people, using the Roman fascist salute to celebrate his victory there, and they're calling him Duce, which is a reference to the old Italian fascist leader Mussolini. So, but yeah, this is obviously it's quite clear that this was nothing. This was clearly an anti-Semitic attack. There was also the fascists themselves have also hijacked the whole Free Palestine thing, because at the same time there's all this issues when this incident happened. Obviously, there was this attack from Gaza as well, so there's a lot of Free Palestine protests going on. But the Lazio fans themselves unfurled a Free Palestine banner during the match in order to kind of anger the Tottenham fans, which is kind of ironic because they probably hate Asians and people from the Middle East just as much as they probably hate Jews as well, because they're fascists. So, it's just a rather interesting hijacking of another protest movement in order to mock a Jewish football club, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Wow. So lots of stuff going on then.
Yeah, definitely. Whether or not this will continue, I don't know, but I can imagine that it won't be the last time in Italy where there will be related attacks against certain teams because of their background. Mm-hmm. But we'll have to see what happens, really. But it's quite clearly, it was a fascist attack. It was definitely politicised as well.
Mm. Well, so that's been the news with Radio Cabale. So now we're going to go to a song from Drowning Dog and Malatesta.
I mean, I have to make money. I have bills. I have an apartment that I have to pay every month. I have to pay my bills, and if I don't, then my credit gets fucked up, and I can't have fucked up credit because then I'm fucked.
They own you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be gone. You have no power here.
Bang, bang.
Silver dollar chain. Without this, I still move. Making something my nothing ain't new. This new, making moves. Bang, bang. Who holds that piggy bank? Who collects? Who holds that piggy bank? Who's in debt? Who holds that piggy bank? Who does it out? Who calls the shots? Who cleans and pots? You wonder, I betcha, I know. It kept you, got you in a chokehold. CEO bankers, them politician gangsters. Elbow to the throat, and there's no passing go. No go, no go. Cause they own you, and they own this land, and they own the sand in the sea too. They some loan shark monsters with a big crew, credit card killer, a pusher, a dealer. You don't know their name, but they own this game, and they hold the banks. They got it on that lot, cause they own the tanks. They own the TV, they talking that, making us believe that we need thee. Man, they some sleazy, corporate sponsored, marketing adventure, manipulating we. The corp, the protector, or the bank investors, why can't we see? They some Hannibal Lecter, cannibal shit, diamond ain't got nothing, all the flesh they get. Killers, serial bankers, who benefits? We follow the money trail and we find some answer. Or it's another trail of tears forever. Where's the money come from? Where does it go? Makes me skeptical of the things I touch and know. Like how they get the money, yo, where they get the dough. Who work finger to the bone, who had to die to get the banker's bill stacked so high? You can believe that there's a connection, a correlation. So here's my interception for conversation. We need some reflection on who holds that piggy bank, who collects. Who holds that piggy bank, who's in debt? Who holds the piggy bank, who does it out? Who calls the shots? Who cleans and pots? You wonder, I betcha, I know. It held your ransom for your work check. Clear check, bounce check. How much is your amount? Check, 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 check. Check into cash. Bank of Italia, Citibank, Bank of America, Morgan Chase. Fat bankers telling me to tighten my belt. It's like an alcoholic telling me to get some help. But I wanna move on to a world without hunger and death from hunger and fighting one
another for that land and power. American dollar, I said you're a yen pound. I've been around all the stories I've found and seen. I said you know what I mean. When this push comes to love, we can shovel a lot. Looking out for each other, sometimes it's all we got. Cause they ain't looking out for we, they looking out for them. Our needs are never met, so why do we pretend? They sold us out, it's in their interest. Their bankable income, giving us no rest. Keeping us all pressed, bent over the rent. Pressure, while I'm waiting on that automated telephone line. It got me feeling quite the lesser. They need some Carlo Hessa, they can do what they want. And keep us wondering why our luck don't amount to duck. No matter how hard we try, never trust in Mr. Bank, it's true. It's true. And I'm only dealing with them cause I had to. I said if I had an option, I'd divorce them. But this economic freedom, not supposed to. And it's a double standard from way back. Keep pressing on my last nerve, sciatic. Okay, listen Mr. Bank, if I could say no thanks. You can keep your statements and fuck your payments. They making multi-million dollar profits, zero taxes paid. Multi-million dollar refunds and the rest of us a slave. Wall Street bailouts making more than before. Bail skeet bailouts, some dicks galore. So let's smash the banks of marble, kick the bosses out the door. Share the vaults of silver that we all have worked for. Bang, bang, silver dollar chain, chain. Without this, I still move. Still move. Making something my nothing ain't new. Ain't new. This new, making moves. Making moves. Bang, bang. Piggy, 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 bang, 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 bang. Piggy, 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 bang, bang.
So, Wicked, so that was Drowning Dog and Malatesta. So now we're going to go to an interview that I did with them a little while ago when they last played in Bristol, when they were fantastic. And as you'll hear, they're a lovely bunch of people.
Ticinese, senza padroni.
What it is, Drowning Dog, Malatesta.
Drop!
This is for the people, 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 this is for the people. And this is for the people who were never heard. It's a voice for the voiceless, a toast for the toastless, a smoke for the smokeless, for those who on the train but are coachless, for those who are the farming but are foodless. We this, believe this, aye. This is for the people who are never heard. Cause we have so much more to say and no one gets to hear. Step towing through this life and we driven by fear. This is for the people who are never heard. And this is for those with chains on the feet. Scared to move, y'all, we scared of defeat. And this is for those who go nonstop, nurturing the children harassed by the cops. It's like fuck the many and serve the few. In this world of vertical madness, what are we to do? Is there a time served for the people never heard? Remember the coming years like they're already gone. When desperation conquers reason, it's a treason to behold. On ourself without knowing, yo, we're feeling a mold. Contemplating survival and it's something so old. This is for the people who were never heard. Cause where everything will never be, stifled from our true potential, we could be so much more. But the sphere culture reigns on us and it ain't accidental. We scared of each other, steady keeping us from our basic essentials. But if I am you and you are me and we share knowledge, come and we pulling strength from one another, then we wouldn't need these managers or masters. These fuckers sucking on us like cancer. We are never heard cause they never asked us. They wouldn't like the answer. It's a hush hush, been silence for years. We ain't living through our fears, so fuck your careers. And this is for the people who are never heard cause we have so much more to say and no one gets to hear. Step towing through this life and we driven by fear. This is for the people who are never heard. And it's making me feel funny like a bad remix, but it's something we can fix. And these tricks off for kids, and this is my bid for another society. Living horizontally, what it be, wanna be. Constantly thinking of another way to say we could do better. We all have ideas on how shit could work better together. But it's like a lost love letter. So much good intention, but it's never delivered. A misconnection, options never considered. I'm saying it now, cause of broken people, we can't be so. This is for the people who are never heard, say. This is for the people, 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 this is for the people.
So hey, so this is Radio Cavalli and we're here with DDN. Hi guys.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you guys?
Good.
Not bad.
And I guess I want to talk to you guys because your music is like wicked, obviously. And so you guys sort of have, your music is political and stuff. And so how do you sort of in practice put your politics into the music?
All right. This is DJ Malatesta. Mainly through the content of the lyrics and the samples and stuff like that. So the content of the actual songs itself is definitely political, and also the fact that we pretty much are, for years have been trying to create a network and be part of a network of international anarchist rap. And also probably 99% of the shows we've played in the past have been benefits for various anarchist groups and all sorts of groups. But so to that extent, that's the politics.
Right, and also just kind of continuing the punk ethic from back in the day and the networking of DIY and how we have to supporting each other's adventures, whatever to say. Keep trying to keep that alive, but not with punk music, you know, with a different style, but.
Yeah, definitely. And I was watching an interview with you guys before we started doing this one and chatting and things, and I was really interested when you talked about, what is it, degenerate art and intarte, I probably pronounced this wrong, intarte Kunst and things, sort of as a way of positioning your music as well. I thought that was quite a neat word. Could you talk a bit more about that?
Yeah, Inaktete Kunst, which I probably don't pronounce it right either. Inaktete Kunst is what we called the record label. Degenerate art, right? When did that come about? 2002? Shit.
I was going to say 1997. Right. 1999, I think we started it.
Started the record label.
The Tenderloin in San Francisco. So yeah, we just decided, it's just the same thing, it's just a continuation of the DIY thing. Everybody in the block made music. We thought we'll take photographs of the building and put out a compilation, have all this weird mixture of different people.
And why did you choose the name?
Inaktete Kunst though is the degenerate art exhibition that the Nazis put on in Munich in 1937. Basically, they stole all the art, a lot of art that was not deemed as being down with the Nazi ideology. So they would go to the artist, steal it, and then present it as this degenerate art to try and ridicule these artists, put it in a different context to say, look, people that aren't into right-wing politics are freaks, they're degenerate, they're subhuman, whatever the fuck. And so we thought at the time it was kind of like... the fact that we were kind of like hell-bent on putting out anarchist politics in different contexts, different music contexts from what had happened before, we always felt, and also we were in San Francisco at the time, it was really kind of, the whole dot-com boom thing was happening, there was a lot of emphasis on really weird experimental music, it was all quite kind of clean-cut, the city, wasn't it? It was like very, very conservative kind of period, so, and we'd already felt a lot of resistance just as far as trying to get shows and stuff like that. Distinction. Anyway, so we thought that we would get this pressure for doing this political music and it would be deemed degenerate by capitalist society or whatever. But now we call it EK Records because nobody can pronounce.
Nice. You mentioned a bit about, I guess also sort of the, I guess you guys have been living over in Europe for the past few years and things, but you mentioned a bit about the scene in California as well. I guess I was a bit curious about how radical hip-hop is in California and stuff, because there's obviously like quite a long political history in California as well, you know, the Black Panthers most notably, but probably lots of other stuff, you know, like gay liberation movement as well and things. Like, it's quite, it's known for being a bit pushing the envelope a bit, at least for the states and things. So so how does it compare and things? How do you find?
Compare and contrast to Europe?
Yeah, not an exam question, but phrased as such.
I think maybe the biggest thing might be the legality aspect. The fact that there's so much illegal activity in Europe as regards to occupying, doing events and stuff like that, it creates a much more solid network which doesn't exist in the States. Everybody that tours in the States, like fucking everybody, loses money, you know what I mean? Which means it's not sustainable, which means it's like really difficult. In Europe, groups have got more chance of sustaining themselves based on the fact that the social centres don't pay taxes. Or whatever, or don't, you know what I mean, don't, they can take alcohol into a place, sell it, they can charge at the door, all this stuff illegally, and the only, you know what I mean, the money's kept within the network or the movement or whatever.
Yeah, I think that obviously there's more places to play, because in the States you either have a small bar that might be sympathetic to what you're saying, or then a big club. And most of the time you're only in the commercial club if you have a deal.
Capitalism is just a bit stronger in North America.
Yeah, and resistance is historically different, you know what I mean? It's just a different context, isn't it? I mean, here it's like tradition, in a sense. It's traditional almost, you know what I mean? Resistance in Europe is like, whereas in the States, there's that also, there's obviously, I'm not going to undermine that, but there seems to be, in the States it's all about defence, politically, I think, so many situations that... It's pretty depressing, you know what I mean? Because whereas in Europe there's a lot of defence, but there's also a lot of proactive kind of plans getting put in place with people and people working together and making things happen. that people don't have the freedom to do in the States.
Mm.
Much more right wing in the States than Europe, way more. In general, I think, you know, how your life plays out is way more controlled in the state than in Europe.
Because in some of your songs as well, you sort of talk about, like, I guess sort of just when you have to have a shit job to get by and things like that. And that, when I was listening to that, that sort of struck me as being like, yeah, I kind of get that, you know, especially coming from North America where the benefit system's quite different and things. You just, you got to work and you got to do what you got to do. You're much more tied to wage slavery and things.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think I talk about it in every song. It's a bit depressing, but repetitive and depressing. Find something else to say. But yeah, no, it's like that, isn't it? And it's fucking tragic. But I think that's when we started. When we started doing our thing, we were separate, right? Maltesta did his own work, and I did my own work, and then we came together. Mm-hmm. But I think when we both started, it was for the reasons of, you know, not everybody reads books, you know, and not everybody, we wanted to talk to people that maybe don't read or don't go to school, like, don't, you know what I mean, but work shitty jobs and are fucking frustrated and don't know why, you know, and speak to people like that, like myself, I would think, you know, and, you know, who want a good beat and fucking want this type of music, but don't want to compromise themselves as much.
Wicked. So now we're back, and back with Radio Cabaret. So we're always looking for volunteers here at Radio Cabaret. If you're interested, drop us an email at radiocabaret@riseup.net. And now we're going to go to a song by the Interterrestrials called Barry Horn. So the song sort of explains itself, but Barry Horn died on hunger strike a while ago. He was an animal rights activist, and he died protesting the use of vivisection.
Many who are sleeping, who are now
Wicked. So we're back with Radio Cabale, and now we're going to go to an interview with Piotr. You'll hear all about his case in the interview. He is currently living in Spain. He's from Russia, and he'll talk quite a bit about the Russian prison experience and why he's in exile, and also sort of some of the stuff that we covered before in Radio Cabale about the anti-Rhodes movement in and around Moscow and St. Petersburg. So check it out.
Hi there. So we're you're back with Radio Cabale, and today we're speaking. I might get this wrong. Piotr, who's facing extradition to Russia from Spain. So could you tell us a bit more about what's going on with that?
Well, I can only guess what's going on in reality. As we are communicating with the court in some kind of one way. And they only informing me about the current procedures. Well, the last time they did, it was last Monday, and they just introduced me the papers saying that they received the proper papers from Russia, considering my case and my crimes. And they consider the papers absolutely correct and can proceed with the actual extradition. So now my case goes to the government of Spain. Mm-hmm. They formally have the right of veto on the extradition cases, but of course they never use it. So, well, after around 3 weeks, it will be approved in the government, and then they will just proceed with the extradition hearings. Well, okay. That's all absolute whatsoever nonsense, because according to my refugee status in European Union, they can't even communicate with Russian authorities or even tell them my locations or any of my data. Not even that's the minimum. They can't extradite me.
So you've had refugee status, and so you're fighting the extradition then, is that correct?
Well, yeah, like, almost hopefully I'm not going to be extradited anyway, because, like, that's just violating all possible rules of inter-European communication. According to inter-European rules, a person received a political asylum in one European country can be extradited to a third country, of course.
Indeed, yeah, no, and so what part of the reason that the government in Russia wants to bring you back there is because of some involvement with the I would say this one wrong as well, the Khimki Forest?
Khimki.
The protest.
Well, it's pronounced Khimki.
Khimki.
Yeah, that was the main political scandal and the media action 2010, and, like, that was the main media campaign, and, like, the prehistory of Pussy Riot, probably. In brief, there was a that started as a small ecological campaign in the region of Moscow. Mm-hmm. But that was the scandal it caused was so, like, so obvious and the media colorful. So that we got in the real hot spot. We just stepped on the anthill. It was something very intensive. And because in that conflict that coincided all the possible levels of typical Russian corruption and white collar crime, and not white collar, just regular crime. Well, in brief, that was a construction of a huge highway from Moscow to St. Petersburg, and it crossed for some corruptional reasons, they changed the initial plan of constructions and put the road through. It makes on the map, it's very funny. It just makes an S turn for no reason. It goes straight and then makes S turn. The national forest of Khimki region, and the ecologists were just pissed off of that, and the local citizens didn't want it at all. But they were so unlucky to have the chief of the administration of the place, an ex-colonel of Soviet army and at the same time a boss of the local mafia. So, like, he belonged to a very powerful clan of ex-military officers who control armed trade and drug trafficking from Afghanistan. And using his connections, he became a mayor of the city, not that Himki city. And he spread just total terror and gangster rule over the place. Like, all business activities belonged to his family, and, like, the chief of police was his relative, and, like, all that classical third world stuff. When the ecologists started the campaign, like, horrible thing, he responded with horrible things, like, the chief editor of the local newspaper had been beaten up nearly to death and handicapped. He's, like, almost in the vegetable state now. His name is Mikhail Beketov, if you can find it on the internet. And, well, there have been explosions of cars and, like, people beaten, like, dozens of people beaten up. And, once they cut a head of someone's dog and brought it to his doors, and, like, all that classical mafia style. And that ended up with... They just wanted to demolish the ecological camp on the site of construction and hired a group of Nazi football supporters, Nazi hooligans from Moscow. And once in a while, like once in 5 in the morning, they came all masked and started bashing the people and bashing tents. Like hell broke, and then the activists called the local police and local police just arrived and arrested the eco-activists. And those activists were not from the, so you understand, they were not from the actual eco-scene. They were just local citizens, just normal moms and dads. And, then that the hell broke and we just, the anti-fascist community of Moscow decided that they can respond somehow to that situation and in the center of Himki.
Thanks for that one, Santaria. Now, for our last song, we're going to hear the Andrew Lansley rap by MC NextGen and Rob Gee, which had written about the privatisation of the NHS, which we want to play in solidarity with the people protesting this Saturday.
That's fine.
Andrew Lansley, greedy Andrew Lansley, tosser. The NHS is not for sale, you grey-haired manky codger. Andrew Lansley, greedy Andrew Lansley, tosser. The NHS is not for sale, you grey-haired manky codger. Andrew Lansley, greedy Andrew Lansley, tosser. The NHS is not for sale, you grey-haired manky codger. Andrew Lansley, greedy Andrew Lansley, tosser. The NHS is not for sale, not for sale. So the budget of the PCTs, he wants to hand to the GPs, oh please. Don geeks are gonna buy from any willing provider and get care from private companies. So the pie and the one apiece, got the rise on the peas like mice for the cheese. Talk truth when I ride the beat, you talk shy when you speak. See money when you close your eyes to sleep. So fall back, your face looks like a shriveled up bull sack. The stuff that you say is bullcrap, I'm sure Andy Pandy snorts crack. Health minister, I mean sinister, you know the public will finish ya. Is your brain really that miniature? You full of crap, give yourself an enema. You're filthy rich from those who represent Walker's Chris. Mars and pizza hot proof, you're a health slut, and you're always talking shit. £134 an hour, every week that's quite a lot of quids. And you came to the conclusion the food industry should be a little less strict. Scandal disclosed that you flip your second home, you said your claims were within the rules. Filled your pockets, took us for jokes. How would you cope when broke folk get ill, injured and broke, but they don't have the dough to get their life back on the road, so the poor die slow and the rich take control. Andrew Lansley, greedy Andrew Lansley, tosser. The NHS is not for sale, you grey-haired manky codger. Andrew Lansley, greedy Andrew Lansley, tosser. The NHS is not for sale, you grey-haired manky codger. Andrew Lansley, greedy Andrew Lansley, tosser. The NHS is not for sale, you grey-haired manky codger. Andrew Lansley, greedy Andrew Lansley, tosser. The NHS is not for sale, not for sale.
Lansley's white paper liberating the NHS sets out a plan where we'll become more like the US, and care will be farmed out to private companies who will sell their service to the NHS via GPs, who will have more to do with their service purchase arrangements than anything to do with even seeing their patients. He's been given cash by Johnny Nash, chairman of Care UK, a private healthcare provider who, if they have their own way, will be the biggest beneficiaries of Conservative Lib Dem policies to privatise healthcare, pull apart their welfare state. These plans have been slacked by patient organisations, charities, unions, nursing and medical institutions. The Royal College of GPs even joined the attack, looked closely at the proposals and said they were crap. So say yes for the NHS. Andrew Lansley could suck at David Cameron's breast. His question for the rich to pay less, and the poor have to stress, it'll be one big mess. Andrew Lansley, greedy Andrew Lansley, tosser. The NHS is not for sale, you grey-haired manky codger. Andrew Lansley, greedy Andrew Lansley, tosser. The NHS is not for sale, you grey-haired manky codger. Andrew Lansley, greedy Andrew Lansley, tosser. The NHS is not for sale, you grey-haired manky codger. Andrew Lansley, greedy Andrew Lansley, tosser. The NHS is not for sale, not for sale.
So yeah, let's take a look at what's going on in the next month for Bristol then. Let's check our calendars out. Well, on the 3rd, which is on the Monday, we have the Permanent Culture Now Indie Media night, which is going to be held at the Cube, Dove Street in Bristol. Entry is about £3 or £4, but nobody gets turned away due to lack of funds, you know. They're a nice bunch of people. But yeah, it'll be starting at 8 o'clock. Basically, I think it's just going to be like a film night with a talk about, you know, what does resistance mean to take in an age of austerity. I think it's just going to be like speakers there talking about how they feel we should challenge, you know, the austerity measures and how we can possibly change things for the better as well. I know for a fact that there'll be speakers from the IWW and the Anarchist Federation there, and I'm sure there'll be other people there as well, but I have to check on my information to see who else is going to be there. But yeah, they'll be talking a lot about the, you know, the resistance against austerity measures. But so check it out if you can.
Nice one.
We're on the subject of films. There's going to be a Bristol Palestine Film Festival happening this December from the 7th to the 16th, which is to celebrate Palestinian film, arts and culture. The website for it is www.bristolpff.org.uk. So yeah, check that out.
Wicked. And so there's a national anti-fur demonstration happening Saturday the 8th of December. It's happening in London, so they're meeting at 12 noon at Hyde Park Corner. So you can get more information about it at www.caft.org.uk. And they say, although the breeding and killing of animals for their fur has now been illegal in the UK for over a decade, there are still hundreds of shops in London which continue to sell fur which has been imported from other countries where these practices are still carried out. This year, they say, we will be taking the protest directly to the shops responsible for keeping this trade going, including some of those famous names in the fashion and retail. So join them if you're interested in that and so inclined on Saturday the 8th of December in London.
Okay, well, we also have one from a very local source here as well, which is the Eastern and Lawrence Hill Neighbourhood Forum. That will be on the Thursday the 13th of December. That will be held at Eastern Primary School in Beaufort Street. So yeah, I think what's going to be on the agenda? Well, it says, what advice would you give to Bristol's new mayor? Well, I could think of a few things myself, actually, yeah. You know. maybe comment on his use of red trousers as well. yeah, not too fond of George Ferguson, to be honest with you. Anyway, there's also talk about the exciting developments on our local high streets as well. And speaking of the, as well, there'll be neighbourhood partnership as well, be discussed about as well. Basically, latest on traffic schemes, the Stapleton Road Working Group, and parking scheme as well. So, just basically local issues for local people as well, really. So, and also to top it off, there'll be a Christmas quiz as well. You know, just have a bit of fun.
Oh well.
And that'll be from 6:30 PM to 8:30 PM if you're interested.
Okay.
And that'll be at the Eastern Primary School in Beaufort Street.
The day after that, there's going to be a punk gig on Friday night, Friday the 14th, that is, from Bastard Squad. They've got They're getting a band called Antidotum, who's coming all the way from Poland. Spanner, which I'm sure a lot of you all know, and Piss on Authority. It's a gig in order to support Bristol Defendant Solidarity. So, and it will be at the White Hart in Easton. Great to see you there.
Wicked. So also on the theme for fundraisers for Bristol Defendant Solidarity, and this is not because Bristol Defendant Solidarity is rich, it's in fact the opposite, because Bristol Defendant Solidarity do lots of good work with defendants who are going through legal processes and who need support and solidarity. So yes, there's always a need for that kind of stuff. So come on out to the Acoustic Winter Warmer, which is happening on Saturday the 15th of December, 2 till 8. It's £3 suggested donation at Cabele, so 14 Robertson Road, and there's going to be mulled cider, cake, brandy coffee, Clayton Blizzard's going to be coming, Cosmo, Tracy Curtis, Emma Musty, probably some others. It'll be a fantastic afternoon, you know, right before all the holiday madness starts to kick off, so come and enjoy some sanity with your friends and raise some money for the Bristol Defendant Solidarity.
And, of course, one just before the new year, and one for all the cyclists out there. You've got your Critical Mass coming up soon, which will be a free, fun, per bike cycle ride. They always have this every month, apparently. I haven't seen any yet, actually. I think I might have to go to one, actually, fix my bike up. But, yeah, it's the last Friday of every month. They meet 6 o'clock by the fountains at Hippodrome, or, you know, the fountains that are by Hippodrome, if you're familiar with that area. That'll be 6 p.m. in the evening. Take a bike and have a jolly good cycle ride.
And don't forget, if you need to fix your bike up, there's always Cabele Bike Workshop every Wednesday at Cabele in Easton. Yeah, bring it down. All parts are either like second hand or cost price, and so and people generally very helpful, especially if you get there before the end of the day when people are tired. So yeah.
Yeah, try and get there for about 12:30. I think that's a good time to go down.
12:30 is a good time if you're awake.
We have coming up Bristol Anarchist Black Cross Prisoner Support is doing a prisoner letter writing evening, and also the launch of the Certain Days Freedom for Political Prisoners calendar. So this month it's the first Thursday of every month, so that would be Thursday, December 6th, and it will be starting at 6:30 p.m. There'll be some tapas food and cake and things. We're also going to be showing the movie the Black Power mixtapes, so come and check it out as well. So speaking of the Certain Days calendar, just gonna go. Great, so the Certain Day Freedom for Political Prisoners calendar is out again, and Bristol Anarchist Black Cross is distributing it across the UK. The theme this year is resisting the rule of the 1%, and it's a beautiful colour calendar. It's made by editors from the inside, so folks who have been on the inside for a while, so like Herman Bell and David Gilbert and Seth Hayes, who are all long-term political prisoners in the United States who have served over 100 years between them, basically for their politics and fighting for their communities and against racism and imperialism. Members of the Black Panther Party, the Black Liberation Army, the Weather Underground and the like. And so also just so you know, so not only is it a beautiful calendar with lots of fantastic artwork that's made in collaboration with people on the inside and people on the outside, it's also a fundraiser for the New York State Task Force on Political Prisoners, ADAMIR, which is a Palestinian political prisoner or prisoner legal program that they have, and the Six Nations Land Defense Legal Defense Fund. So obviously, as we were speaking about earlier in the show, indigenous resistance and land rights, obviously still a massive contentious issue, and folks that need support and solidarity as well from the outside, who also as well do fantastic, amazing work and are way solid in what they do in the activism and things. So check it out. There's calendars available at Cabele, on the Bristol Anarchist Black Cross website, and just get in touch, and you know, it makes a great present as well as being a fantastic fundraiser.
Sweet. Oh, do we have anything else?
I think that's it.
That's it. I'm afraid. That's everything on the upcoming events, really.
Yeah, so that was Radio Cabele for this month.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, folks.
Yep. Thanks for listening. Hopefully catch you again next month.
Okay. Bye.
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 Cool.